continuing our series this morning on spectacularly normal. You know, I was thinking backstage about God, and we serve a spectacular God. You can agree with me if you like. We serve a spectacular God, and He is all that we need and more. That is the reality. His words tell us, His creation tells us, His works tell us that He is spectacular in every way. And we are speaking about spectacular, but being spectacularly normal. And so we serve this spectacular God, but I want to tell you something about God. God is spectacular, but He is right in your normal. God isn't so far removed that He is so spectacular that we can't reach Him, we can't touch Him, we can't speak to Him. It suddenly dawned on me that we live and we serve this spectacular God, but He is in your normal. And so we come together, and some of the stuff that we do together, I think, is pretty spectacular. When the Church of Jesus Christ comes together, and we honor God, and we sing our hallelujah, our praise Him, our lifting of His name, there is something spectacular about that. But how about tomorrow morning? How about when you turn up to the office and it ain't feeling that spectacular? How about when you've got to go for that appointment that you don't think is that spectacular? Let me tell you, God doesn't change. That He is still spectacular and He cares about your ordinary. He cares about your normal. How many know that's a good start? Everyone turns to the person next to you and say, that's a good start. Thank you, both of you. Being spectacularly normal. How to be your very best at ordinary. The things you didn't learn at Sunday school. How to be your very best, or at Bible school, best at ordinary. I want to share with you today and continue with this whole story from the first book in the Bible, Genesis, about Joseph. I don't know if you got anything from that talk last week, but I enjoyed delivering it. And I want us to continue on this road and this story. If you didn't hear last week's talk, you can hear it on the podcast. It is up and running and will help you understand the context of where we are right here. So here's my start. Ordinary is powerful. Everyone say powerful. Ordinary is powerful. Spectacular living is attained by excelling at the ordinary. I totally believe that. And the Apostle Paul writes, and I bring this foundational couple of verses that we base this whole series on this morning, where Paul writes to the church, and he says this, listen carefully. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, of course. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God. Did you hear me? The word says we are to place our ordinary before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. I'm going to read that again. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And so we've been looking at this story of Joseph, and of course we look together at this coat, this beautiful robe that Joseph's father, Jacob, had made for Joseph because he was his favorite boy. And of course, we looked at the fact that when Joseph wore this coat, there was something about the coat that was spectacular. And so when Joseph would wear the coat, it made him look spectacular, but underneath was his ordinary. I want us to understand that there is this spectacular about us that maybe sometimes we try and create, but all of us on the inside and underneath are ordinary. There is an ordinary about us, and there was an ordinary about Joseph. We all have one. And I commented last week that sometimes we try and cover up our ordinary life. You know, who wants to speak about our ordinary life? The things that are going wrong, the normal stuff, people getting sick, the work situation, our health, education, the government, all of our ordinary life and all of our ordinary things. Sometimes we try and cover up our ordinary with some stuff, some things, some spectacular things that we think will cover our ordinary because we don't excel very often in the ordinary. And I want to pick up the story this week in Genesis 37 as this story unfolds. Let me just give you very quickly some of the context. So here we have Joseph's brothers. There were 11 of them. Joseph's brothers who hated their brother Joseph because they were jealous of him because of his big mouth and some of the dreams that God had given him, and he was sharing that stuff unwisely, and his brother actually created a hate for him. And that was the context of what we're speaking about here. And the story goes is that all Joseph's brothers were sent to look after his father's sheep in another district. So we pick up the story where Joseph is sent to his brothers to get a good report of where they're at and also maybe to take some provision to them. And so we pick up the story in Genesis 37. Just listen to these two or three verses. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw him, so he's gone to find them, gone via a different place, detoured and ended up in the place where they are. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. How many think that's a bit harsh? They made plans to kill him. Here comes the dreamer. How many know this was strong? Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him. Throw him into one of these cisterns or this pit. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. But when Reuben, this was another of his brothers, but when Reuben heard of their scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him, he said. Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into this empty cistern here in the wilderness. Doesn't sound like he wanted to rescue him, does it? Then he'll die without us laying a hand on him. But actually, Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and to return him to his father. This is what I call the scheme to kill the dream. Have you ever been there? the scheme to kill the dream, and the word of the Lord. And hear me this morning. This is a word of the Lord that I made up in relation to Joseph, but I think was pretty accurate based on the story. The word of the Lord came to Joseph at this time when stuff actually was happening in not a way that he was thinking would be the way that things would quite work out. How many know the ordinary was showing? And so in his ordinary, some stuff wasn't working out. And here came the word of the Lord to Joseph. Joseph, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. I said it's time to grow up. It's time to move on. It's time to come into maturity. It's time to move from the place that you are to another place. It's time to step up to another level. It's time to understand the time and what you're going through. It's time to grow up. How many know the honeymoon was quickly over? The star in the coat suddenly found himself as the slave in the pit. And I can almost hear in your silence this morning that many of you are either have been there, or that you're there, or that you're there again. And there is a thought of, God, why? Why, and all these questions, do I find myself where I am? God, in a place where I find myself where I'd never planned to be, never thought that I would be, and certainly don't want to be. Why is my dream suddenly turning into this nightmare? Why does my life look like that, God? A bit like us sometimes, I believe. But I want you to get this with all the force that I bring it in the name of Jesus this morning. When I say get this, God was effectively saying to Joseph, hear me. He was saying, Joseph, I have marked you. I have marked you, and now I am going to make you. I have marked you, and now I am going to make you. I want you to understand this morning, not just for this young man that had started a journey of maturity, but I want you to understand for yourself, wherever you might find yourself today, in your questionings, in your understanding of the ordinary, and me saying to be spectacularly ordinary, to bring some understanding to that, there is a marking of you, and there is a making of you. Let me say that your marking is about your identity. There is a time that, and you may remember this time, this is a time where you understand who you are in Christ. This is a time where you understand that you are who God says you are. This is about an identity. There is no thought of God hasn't given you identity. There is no thought that God hasn't marked your life. Understand. And so understand also that if marking is about your identity, then making is about your maturity. I want you to understand these different dynamics as we walk in the ordinary of our life, taking our everyday ordinary stuff and offering it to God in the ordinary. And now Joseph is on this journey of maturity. How many know God hadn't gone anywhere? Some of you right now asking the question, God, where are you in this? God, I'm in a place I don't want to be. Never planned to be there. Where are you, God? When did you leave me? Why did you leave me? Why does it look like my ordinary stinks, God? How did I ever end up in this place, God? It's amazing that we put it onto God. Why are we here in this place, God? God wants to remind you that he hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't gone anywhere. I want to ask you a question. Do you remember your marking? Do you remember your marking? That the day of identity, the day of identification. You know, for some of you, it was the day when you said first yes to Jesus. Can you remember that far back? You can speak to me. It's okay. Can you remember for some of you decades ago when God marked your life? It's like that day, the thumbprint of God came. I recognized the thumbprint. You know, his thumbprint had been there all the time, but suddenly I woke up to the fact that your thumbprint is now on my life. I have some identity and I found it in my Savior. There was a marking of your life. And for all of us, we've come, and if not, you can come to that place where you recognize the thumbprint of God on your life today. For others of you, it was like that dream where God showed you a picture of your intended future. And it came, this dream, and you thought, wow, I've just got to live out this dream that you've given to me, God. But today you think, you know what? The dream seems like a total nightmare. It's not quite happening as you said it would, God. For others of you, you remember the marking of the day of God on your life when some God words came into your life. When maybe someone came and spoke some God words, some prophetic words over your life. And you can still remember that day of marking and what they said over your life. And you think, today, God, where is it? For others of you, you think of the miracle that marked a new day, a new beginning in your life. God did something incredible. It could have only been God. It was a miracle, and it was back then, but you're here now. Do you remember your marking? I think when we think about marking and God putting his stamp on us for now and for our future, seems to me that marking is a little bit like the spectacular. That when God is trying to get our attention and when God is trying to show us something, he does it in a spectacular way. He gives us a dream, or he brings us to faith, or he brings a miracle in our lives, and it seems all spectacular. Seems that marking is about spectacular moments. And then comes the making. The making to maturity. The road to maturity. And what I'm saying this morning is that often God marks us in the spectacular, but makes us in the ordinary. That there's some things that are going on in our lives, everyday, ordinary life, sleeping, walking, talking, all the stuff that we do, that we find it hard to grapple with, and sometimes we don't understand why things are happening like they're happening. And we forget that the spectacular God is in our ordinary world. That he's watching over our ordinary. When we think he's left and we say, God, where are you? He's still there. The news is, your ordinary is your making to maturity. Your ordinary is your making to maturity. You know, God sometimes uses your pit to get you fit. Did you see what I just did there? Did you see that right there? Sometimes throwing you into a cistern like Joseph was thrown into a pit, another version says. Sometimes God uses that pit to get you fit. He's trying to mature you. He's trying to grow you up. How many know making looks a lot different to marking? Oh, just take me back, God. Take me back to some nostalgic journey of when you marked me. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there are some days that you need to go back to when God marked you. And you need to remember the words that He said over your life. You know what? Some of you, that's going to help you in your ordinary right now. But I want you to understand that there is a marking and there is a making. That God will mark you in the spectacular, but will make you in the ordinary. Don't get the two mixed up. That God is taking you. You know what? The miracle was then. The word of the Lord was then. And it was over my life. But you know what? God is trying to grow me up in my and make me through the ordinary things in life. Because He has some plans for me. He said it in my marking. What I love about this story is that Joseph's brothers thought they'd kill the dream. You can laugh at that because it's funny. It's like they thought they'd kill the dream. You know, they hated Joseph. Let's get him. Let's stab him. Let's kill him. Throw him in a cistern. Tell daddy, favorite, that now he is the coat. He is the coat. Let's show his daddy what's become of this dreamer. Because he was a dreamer. Nothing but a dreamer. Making looks a bit different to marking. And Joseph's brothers thought they'd killed the dream. In Genesis 37 and verse 23, chapter 37 and verse 23, it says these words. Because here now, Joseph's there, his brothers are there, and they set on him. Here's our chance to kill the dream and the dreamer. And verse 23 in the middle says this. It says, they ripped off his beautiful robe. And those words struck me. They ripped off. How would you know that they would use 21st century language back then? They ripped off this beautiful robe. Sometimes we feel like our plans and our dreams have been ripped off. And I started to develop this thought somewhat and about this coat at this stage, this spectacular coat. The Bible says that they took the coat and they put blood on it. The reason that they put blood on it, they killed a goat. And they put blood on the coat so that they could send it back to their father, so that their father would believe that he'd been killed by a wild animal. So they put blood on the coat. And so with the coat, what once was covered with spectacular, or what covered Joseph with spectacular, now gave the appearance of death. However, don't you love that word in the English language? However, do you know what however means? There's more to the story. However means there's more to your story. However means that God's not finished with you. However means that whatever you say about God and where he's not and how he's left you and how he was with you, but now he's... However means there's still more to the story. Come on. However. And the however here goes like this. Little did his brothers know that they were just used to kickstart the next stage of Joseph's journey. That's it. It's like, wow, God must be somewhere then. And I'm not kind of convinced at this stage that Joseph would have said, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my brother enemies. I'm not convinced that he would have been there. But I'm telling you, God hadn't left him. God was in his ordinary. And it says that what they meant for bad, God meant for good. Some of the ordinary that you're struggling with right now. Some of the bad things that you're going through right now. You know what? Someone did something to you and they may have meant it for bad, but I want to tell you, God meant it for good. There's some things that I don't understand about life. Some things, why certain things happen. I try to move from the point of why, God? Why? We can all ask that. Why, God? You know, why me? What did I do? I try to shift that from the question of why to what? What are you doing in me right now, God? What are you doing in this making process? Because God, you've not only marked me, you're making me. And so what are you making me? And what is going on, God? Try and give me some understanding so that as I'm trying to do well in my ordinary, you can show me what maturity you're bringing through these things. What are you doing, God? Not why, but what? What are you doing, God? So what they meant for bad, God meant for good, and I believe same with us. And as I close this right now, I want to say something to you. Stop feeling ripped off. Stop it. Stop feeling ripped off. Stop living in ripped off. It's not helping you. These thoughts of, I'm ripped off, stop it. They tried to rip Joseph's dream away from him. But they couldn't take it because the spectacular God was caring for him. In his ordinary. God has marked you. Hear me. God has marked you. And now he's making you. Wake up! He's not judging you. He's not against you. He's making you. Romans 12, we read it before. This is what he's doing. Developing well-formed maturity in you. He's not punishing you. Stop saying why and ask what, God, are you doing in me right now? And so as we pray in a moment, let me say to you, be committed to excel in the ordinary. Hear me. Be committed to excel in the ordinary. Stop chasing the spectacular that just covers the ordinary. The stuff that you think you can have in your life to cover the ordinary that's not so good. God is spectacular, not you. God thinks you're awesome, but he's the spectacular one. Stop chasing the spectacular and excel in the ordinary. Because within this, I believe God is maturing you. Be your very best at normal. Always aim high, but never get above yourself. God is making you fit for an amazing service, I believe. Let's pray.